Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Steph's going to be preaching the word today. Give it right here. So as long as I've known Steph, she's probably one word that really sticks out for me about Steph is that she's got this heart for prayer. She has this heart for prayer, man. And when you're around her, you know, you're so encouraged by you know, the way that she not only sees prayer, but communicates prayer to you, right? It's contagious when you're around her. And so that's why she leads our prayer ministry for our central and here. She oversees that. And so it's such a blessing having her on board. But, you know, she's also making massive ripples out in the corporate world as well. So, yeah, I'll let her tell her story, not me. But, yeah, so I've just really been blessed by Steph in terms of, you know, just her heart to serve and her heart to connect with people. And so I'm really excited for the word that she's going to be preaching today. Because for me, it's great just to have another sister preach the word. So I'm sure you guys are sick of seeing my face, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So if you could please put your hands together as we welcome up Steph.
Thank you, Pastor Henry. It's an honor to be, to be preaching today. I get a bit nervous throughout, you know why. But no, that's fine. It's really nice to see you all here today. Some new faces as well, which is awesome to see. Thank you to my family for coming as well. Thank you. Really appreciate it. All right, now if I can, I'm going to start by reading through our scripture today. So if I can ask everyone to just standing in reverence for the reading of God's word as we read. Our scripture today comes from John 9, verses 1 through to 7. And it says, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered him, it was not this man that sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word today. God, we thank you that, Lord, not only would we hear what you are speaking to us, God, but that we may see you, Lord, right where you are, right in front of us, right in our midst here today, God. Lord, would you open our eyes to see what you are wanting to do in and through us? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, take a seat, everybody. Now, before we get into things, I have a few images that I want to show you, and I'm probably going to block them a little bit. So let me just come to the side a little bit over here. All right, so these images, the first one, what I want you to see here is I want you to think about the first thing that you see. Am I in your way? It's the first thing that you see. All right, hands up if you saw a tree.
Yes.
Tree, yeah. All right, what about a gorilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. What about a lion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone see the fish?
Yes.
Ah, nice. That took me a long time. I was like, where are the fish? Where are the fish? All right. What about this next one? What's the first thing that you see?
Ships.
All right. Who saw the clouds? The ocean? Yeah. Anyone notice the ship first? Yep. And what about the bridge?
Yes.
Nice. Okay, last one. What about this one? What do you guys see?
Horse.
Ooh. All right, who saw the man riding the horse? Yeah, a few of us. Okay, what about the old man's face? Yeah. What about the girl lying down by the river? What? She's got the yellow little, like, sash over her. All right, this one's tricky. What about the stone archway over the river? That one probably took me like 10 minutes. So if you saw that first, man, you must be very perceptive. See, over the top.
Around with the river.
Still can't see it? That's all right. Lord Jesus, open our eyes today. All right. Now, it's interesting that all of us saw something different first, right? When we looked at these images, we all had a different perception. We were all looking at the same image, but we all saw a different aspect of this image. Even though it remained all the same for us. And it's the same when we go about life. We all take in relatively the same world around us. However, each of us might have a different perception of how we see things, what we see, what we choose to see. We may even see ourselves or others through a different lens until we take the time to look a little bit closer. So the title of my message today is Now I See. Now I See. Now we're finding ourselves today in the book of John. And we've been going through the book of John for the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at chapter 9 where Jesus heals a man born blind. To give you a little bit of context, in the previous chapter, chapter 8, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were wanting to stone a woman who was caught in adultery. But Jesus pointed out that everyone needs forgiveness. You see, he had gone to the Mountain of Olives to teach the people. But the Pharisees, you know what they're like. You know, they bring this woman to see how Jesus would react and whether he would endorse the stoning. And of course, in that time, a stoning would have been the appropriate punishment based on the law at the time. But rather than condemn the woman, we see Jesus step in and he charged her to leave her sin. That woman wasn't stoned. She was left with redemption and forgiveness. And we see that Jesus also taught that he could set people free from sin. And we see through much of chapter 8, he continues and he makes the case that a person's behavior after hearing Jesus, is more important than their history or their birthright. But despite Jesus teaching on this truth, this chapter that we're about to go through, we still see that this trickles through in the thinking of the people at that time. We see this man, his current reality is still intertwined with how he was born, with how he started out in this world. And this was in the front and center of the mind of the disciples. So as we get into the scripture, it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This man, he wasn't just a child anymore. He wasn't an infant that's still blind, right? He's a man now. And I'm sure that life wasn't easy for him, right? I think that that would be very challenging. As you can imagine, his condition would have made life incredibly difficult. I doubt there were a lot of the innovations that we have now, right? Seeing eye dogs or the canes to help people get around. Even things like Braille so that he could read. He wouldn't have had any of those things to help support him. And he wouldn't have been living a life of independence. We see in the ancient world, blind people had very few opportunities and lived their days in poverty as beggars or as wards of their family, under the control of their family, because they had no purpose. How could they work? How could they do all of these things that society expected of them? And his parents were not able to care for him any longer. He was a man now. And so he found himself as a beggar on the streets. You know, when I was thinking about it, it wouldn't have been uncommon for Jesus to come across beggars. When we read through scripture, we see beggars would have gathered around the holy places, hoping that the people of faith would be generous and give them alms to help support them. That would be the place where they'd be like, yep, that's where I'm gonna get my next lunch. Because these people are generous and faithful, they believe in God. So Jesus would have seen these types of people all the time. All the time. But as we see in this part of scripture, we see that Jesus sees the blind man and his condition. And he doesn't just see, but he engages with him. Jesus sees him. Among the crowd, Jesus sees him, truly sees him, this man. He didn't just pass him by or just throw a couple of coins down at his feet. But he was able to see beyond the physical nature of his condition. And he took a different lens. He saw this man in a different light and saw him very differently to those around him. And I think the most amazing thing is that this man wouldn't have seen Jesus coming. He's blind, right? He can't see. He might have heard people calling out Jesus' name. He might have learned to tune into his other senses, his hearing, his touch, taste, all of these things to understand what's going on around him. And I imagine throughout his whole life, all he would have heard is people telling him things. You're blind. You're useless. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive? He hasn't physically seen himself. He doesn't know what he even looks like. But all he would have ever heard is people saying things about him. And he would have taken those things on board because, well, if other people are saying it, then it must be true. And to make it worse, we see the disciples here immediately jumping in and going, Jesus, what's the cause of his condition? Why is he this way? Was it him? What did he do? What did his parents do to make him this way? The disciples didn't see this man. They didn't see past the man, and they asked about the sin behind his blindness. There are so many other questions they could have asked. Hey, Jesus, can this man be healed? Can we heal this man? Jesus, does this man have food to eat? How can we help him? But they go straight away, why is he blind? What did he do? So accusatory, right? But have we ever done this in our own lives? We might sit here and judge the disciples for making those, asking that question, going, man, you could have asked so many other questions, but think about our lives. Do we ask those same kind of questions? Maybe we have looked past people we have come across and just lumped them in the too hard basket. Or assume that it was their fault that they're in a situation. Do we ask this of ourselves sometimes? God, why haven't we received this healing? God, why am I in this situation that I find myself in right now? Rather than believing that God wants to take us out of that condition. And we see in Exodus 20, verses 5, when speaking against idolatry in the Ten Commandments, the Lord promises to visit the sin of the fathers in the third and fourth generations. And, you know, the disciples had some sort of idea about what they were doing when they asked this question, because the Lord told them that God would come and visit the sins of the fathers. However, sometimes, maybe just like we do, we try to understand the justice of God and assume that if God is good, suffering must only come from sin. But what if there's a different way? What if there's a different reason? We see here that Jesus sees people in a different view. He sees their potential for healing, for forgiveness. But the others in this story just set on seeing people in their sin or in their mistakes or in their failures. And it seems that as humans, as people, we seem to get stuck on a person's history. Man, they did that to me. I still hold that against them 20 years later. We get stuck on a person's history. Well, Jesus sees the story that can still be written. Man, aren't we glad? I am so glad that Jesus doesn't mark us by our history before we knew him. Because if you know the old Steph, looks very different to Steph right now, okay? I'm so so glad that he doesn't still go to me, hey, Steph, remember when you did that like 10 years ago? That mistake that you made? He doesn't hold that against me. He sees me in a different light.
Yeah, that's good.
He doesn't constantly see us in the sin or mistakes that we made. There is a mistake that you made. Or whether you walk in and there's something that's still niggling in the back of your mind going, Jesus doesn't want to heal me. Jesus doesn't even want to know me because of what I did. I'm here today to say no.
Amen.
He wants to meet you where you're at. He doesn't see that. He sees your potential for healing and forgiveness. That he still desires to engage with us. He engaged with the blind man. He engages with us in our brokenness and in our condition and sees that there's this opportunity for healing and forgiveness. We move back to the scripture and it says, Jesus answered, it was not this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Who wants that? Man, I want that. I want the works of God to be displayed in me. There was a purpose to this condition, and it was to show God's glory. Jesus is saying here, in effect, that specific sins of the past don't always lead to specific suffering in the present. The explanation for this blindness is not found by looking at its cause, but really looking for its purpose. Timothy Keller said this. So suffering is at the very heart of the Christian faith. Anyone say amen? That sounds awesome. And that sounds awesome. Suffering, yes. Let's go there. I mean, but we see here, it is not only the way Christ became like and redeemed us, but it is one of the main ways that we become like him and experience his redemption. And that means that our suffering, despite its painfulness, is also filled with purpose and usefulness. Jesus doesn't speak like he sees sin when he looks at the man. He speaks like he sees an opportunity for the work of God. You see, it was not this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. Who else does Jesus heal? We see Jesus speaks of Lazarus's illness. Remember Lazarus, the guy who died and then came back to life? What a miracle. But his illness was an opportunity for the glory of God to be seen. And we see in John 11:4, it says, this illness does not lead to death. I'm pretty sure he died. But this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Lazarus had to die for Jesus' glory to be in and through his life. But God made a way, right? Either way. He would have looked and be like, man, there's no way I'm coming back from this. There's no way. Never seen that done before. But God was glorified through it. And in some cases, some very small cases, the Lord brings illnesses on people because of their sin. And we see this in Deuteronomy. But the majority of verses, I want to highlight the majority of verses in the Bible that speak of illnesses focus on healing rather than the source of the sickness. So keeping that in mind, how do we view our circumstances? We may not have an illness or a disability, but do we ever feel like God doesn't care? Or that our own circumstances are our own fault because of something we have done? And sometimes it might be due to a poor decision, yeah. But have we thought that God might want to use that situation for his glory? For his glory. You know, throughout this passage, we don't really hear from this man, right? He's blind, but he's not mute, but he doesn't say anything. We don't hear from him at all. But I imagine that he would have asked these questions about himself. God, why was I born this way? Anyone ever said that? What did I do to deserve this? Why can't I just be like everyone else? And so we move along. Verse 4 says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, Jesus is there to do the works of him who sent him, God, right? But he says we must do the works, not just Jesus. Who is the we? Is it Jesus and the disciples? Or is it Jesus and the blind man? We could argue that it could be the disciples, and maybe some of us would be like, yeah, the disciples should do it. These guys were the trained guys who knew how to deliver, who knew how to do miracles, right? They'd spent all this time with Jesus. They were the qualified ones to be helping with this work. But I would say that it's actually Jesus and the blind man. And what I want to highlight here is that it doesn't say Jesus and the blind man's pastor. It doesn't say Jesus and the blind man's mentor or friend or family. We see here that Jesus invited the blind man, him, to participate in this work of healing. It wasn't relying on someone else to come in and do this work for him. But this blind man had to participate and not rely on the other people around him. And then what is the work? Is it healing or is it something else? We see here the disciples don't do any work. They just ask silly questions. I don't know what they're doing. They're just hanging around, probably being a bit annoying. And Jesus is like, just let me do the work, okay? But we see here that Jesus works. He speaks and he acts. And that's how he activates his part of the miracle. And then he asks the blind man to go and wash, which could also be considered work. Man, I wish my day job, I could just go and wash and that was it. But we see here that that's what he's asked to do, right? Later, the man confesses belief in Jesus. So do we not only see that there is one miracle here, but there is two miracles taking place. He comes back seeing. He has sight. But then he also is renewed spiritually and receives the gift of salvation. We see that Jesus invites this man to be part of the healing process. There's something that this man needs to do to activate the healing and the miracle. There's an action necessary for the miracle and the healing to take place. But I want you to catch that it's not just the physical act, going, washing his face. But there's something spiritual in this as well. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. For one to step out and participate in the healing, the man had to have some form of belief that Jesus would heal him. Remember, this man is blind. Jesus is right here in front of him. But he can't see him. You ever trusted someone you can't see? Jesus was right here in front of him, and this man could not see him. But he said, go and wash. And this man was like, all right. Do we have that type of faith, family? That even if we can't see Jesus, when he is right here, we may not feel him or sense him, but we hear him, and he says something to us. So we go, yep, all right, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know how many of us, I don't know whether I would have trusted someone like that. But are we ready to step out and participate in our healing process, whatever that looks like? Do we have faith to believe that even if we can't see what God is doing in our midst, even if we can't see it, that we would be obedient and do what he says when we hear his voice? Verse 6 says, having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. It's not very glamorous, but then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Like I said, not very. You know, if you like your eyes, it's, you know, another form of makeup maybe. Apparently mud's supposed to be really good for your skin, so maybe they're just silly in that. But Jesus used his spit. It's pretty gross. And dirt from the ground as a healing agent. Dirt and spit. Jesus used his tools. He used what he had available to him. But he used what he had around, right? And asked the man to add to the process by going and washing. The pool of Siloam, you know, which John tells us the word means sent. And remember, John is really specific about the things that he says, right? He wants us to catch something. It's a detail he doesn't want us to miss. You see, the man did what Jesus told him to do, and he came home seeing. Just want to note here that, remember how the disciples asked him this question? Even Jesus. But this man had gone elsewhere to receive his healing. They didn't actually see the healing take place. It wasn't just then and there the man could see. He went away. And what we see is that the man would have only have seen Jesus once he had been healed. So the disciples didn't actually see this take place, but it was for the glory of God that he would go away. And we'll talk about it a little bit later, that other people actually saw that healing. And it wasn't for the disciples, it wasn't for Jesus to go, yes, thank you, God, we've healed this man. It was for the glory of God that God may be known. I want to do a little activity, a little exercise. And I promise this will be creepy, but I want you guys to close your eyes for a moment. Don't peek. Don't do this half-open fingers of your eyes situation. Take some time to imagine living in darkness. Like being in a cave, no torch or light. Listen to the room around you. Put your arm out and feel the seat you're sitting on. Even now, you're probably imagining what the room around you looks like because you've been here and you've seen what it looks like. But remember, this man would have never have seen the inside of the building, would have never seen light or a chair, even grass or the sky. And I imagine that even as I spoke of these things, you pictured all of them in your mind right now, one by one. All he would have seen is nothing. You can open your eyes now. Hard, right? You just want to open your eyes and see what's going on. You see, this man was blind from birth. From birth, he had never seen anything in this entire world. He had never seen anything. This was who he was, and I'm sure that he had learned to live this way. Imagine just having your eyes closed now. Imagine you making your cereal in the morning. Imagine trying to drive through the coffee shop to get your coffee in the morning. This man wouldn't have been able to do any of those things. He doesn't know. He just learned to live a life seeing nothing. And I'm sure that he'd accepted it. He was a man now, right? He'd accepted that this was his portion in life. Any of us at that point where we just accepted that this is our portion in life? That the way that we see ourselves, the situation we're in, that this is it. It's never going to change. How would he ever be healed or be able to see the world around him? And it might be easy for us to judge him for this or expect more from him. Going, man, just have some faith, you know? But this guy had known nothing different. We have accepted that this is all there is, or that this is how it will always be for us. We might have accepted that this is our portion, or perhaps we're undeserving of more. Maybe we don't feel worthy. But are we blinded to the life and purpose God has for us and for others around us? In all its brilliance, in all its beauty, look outside. It's a stunning day today. This is the life that we get to live, and there is so much more than the circumstances you are in that God wants to show you. Do we remove the lens of judgment or disbelief and allow God to work miracles through us if only we would truly see, take that extra time to truly see ourselves and the others around us through the lens of Jesus. This is my favorite part. I can only imagine what happened when this man opened his eyes for the first time. Can you imagine that? After being and seeing nothing for your whole life. Seeing nothing for your whole life. And then all of a sudden, you can see everything around you. When we open our eyes, we see things that are familiar. We see things that we're used to. We know what a chair is. We know what the sky looks like. But for this man, he would have washed his face with water. Just with water. No special eye cream solution or anything like that. And the first thing he would have seen, I can imagine, he's over this pool and he's washing his face. The first thing he sees is himself and the reflection. He sees who he really is. He sees the man that he was created to be. He sees himself as he's never seen himself before. Can you imagine not knowing what you look like? But I think some of us walk around our life not knowing what we look like in God's eyes.
Yeah.
Do we know what we look like in God's eyes? I mean, on top of that, I mean, if that wasn't overwhelming enough already, he looks up, he sees colors, he sees objects, he sees shapes, he sees all of these things, textures, patterns. And these would have been so foreign to him. He wouldn't have known what these things are. How would we feel? How do you think he felt at that point? Probably would have been quite overwhelmed, right? Surprised, emotional, perhaps afraid. This is a whole new world. I mean, he's been living in it for however many years, but he doesn't know anything around him. But these are all feelings that we might have when we're walking out in our purpose. When we take on the lens of Christ and we see ourselves or the other people around us, we might feel afraid, we might feel overwhelmed, we might feel emotional, but that's okay. When we are walking out in what God has for us and walking in our healing, there's so much more. Our eyes are opened up. That is where God wants us to be. And where he gets the most glory. That's where he gets the most glory. When Jesus sees someone, he sees their need for healing and salvation. Family, we need to see ourselves and other people in that same way. Through his lens. The previous chapter and the rest of this story kind of shares a little bit and highlights how people view others through their lens of sin. But this whole story shows that Jesus views through a different lens. The lens of salvation and healing. A great need, whether that's physically or spiritually, that's an opportunity for God to display his glory and an opportunity for a great miracle. Who wants to see a miracle in their lives? I do, and if it's not for me, it's for the people around me. But there's a participation process of that to see the healing and to see the miracle come to life. A great miracle points to our great God. And his greatness is revealed first in how he sees people, and then the miracles of healing, and in the greatest miracle of all, salvation. Someone coming to know Christ. Like the disciples and the Pharisees in this story, we often focus on our own or other people's sin, failures, the sins that might have come from generations before us. And we might use those things as an excuse. But God, you're not going to do that because of all these things. Because I've made mistakes in the past. And we miss the healing and the saving power of Jesus. The miracle of sight and this man's salvation, which happened after the fact, after he was healed, after he could see, is centered around the question of the man's sin. Yet Jesus doesn't withhold either of these miracles from him. This man got 2 miracles in like 2 months. That's awesome. That's so amazing. And yet everybody else around him had disqualified him. Said, you don't have any purpose. You're never going to be anything. You're never going to be able to be on your own. And here he is, this man now seeing. He can see the world around him. He is saved. And it's important to see that God and his mission is consistent no matter what a person's sin history is or it isn't. Whatever your history is or isn't, it doesn't matter to God. He sees that, and he sees that, but it doesn't matter when it comes to him doing a miracle in your life or being able to see salvation in your life or to see him moving in your life. He isn't concerned about this man or his parents' sin being the cause, as most Jewish people would have at the time. Rather, he invites this man into a moment to participate in the work and the glory of God, even through dire circumstances. This guy was nothing in his eyes and in the eyes of people around him. Yet Jesus invited him, not the other man that was sitting begging across the street, invited him, saw him amongst the crowd. His sin or his condition did not disqualify him from the chance to receive healing and believe in Jesus. If Jesus doesn't disqualify him, then he doesn't disqualify you for whatever he has planned in your life. He doesn't disqualify the people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis as well. Maybe it's your friend at school, or maybe it's a work colleague that might just be a bit annoying, and you're like, oh, really? I don't think they're deserving Jesus. I don't know. I really don't want to. Oh, it's just so much fun. The opportunities to participate in the works of God present themselves for a limited time. If we get the chance to encounter Jesus in his word or through other people around us or in a miracle, we are getting the chance to participate in the work of God in our lives and in others. And that's amazing in itself, you know. In the Old Testament, people didn't have that relationship with Christ until Jesus had come. But we're in a place where Jesus is right in front of us like this blind man. But will we choose to open our eyes and see him right there? Will we choose to open our eyes and see him right where he is, inviting us, extending, engaging with us, extending out his hand, going, I want to heal you. I want to see purpose in your life. I want to see you doing what I know you can do and what I have purposed for you. So where are we at? Where are you at? Are we going to be like the disciples? Maybe we judge circumstances of others or jump to conclusions. Maybe we've disqualified certain people, going, you know what, they're just never gonna know. They're never gonna come out of that situation or that circumstance. Or are we gonna be like the blind man who has faith despite not even being able to see Jesus, go, yes, God, I want to be healed. Yep, I'll go and wash. That's what I need to do. Or are we going to be like Jesus and engage those around us and the people we encounter to see beyond their circumstances, beyond the physical, beyond what we know about their past, beyond everything that could disqualify them in our mind, and see an opportunity for a miracle then, and the healing and saving work of Jesus? I want to take some time now for us to think about where we're at. You see, Jesus sees the man, he sees his suffering, and he sees an opportunity for the work of God to be revealed. I want us to take some time to reflect and think about, you know, when we see people, or even maybe we're reflecting on how I see myself. Where am I at? How do I play into this? What do we see? What do we see? So we're going to take some time now to have a discussion question. It says, when we see people or ourselves, whichever part of that you want to take, what do you see? And I believe that God is wanting to show you a different lens of the people around you. God is wanting to show a different lens of how he sees you. So don't brush this question off. Don't be afraid of what it might open up in your own heart. Because I think sometimes we can go, you know, I'm not that person, or no, I'm all good. You know, I see myself this way and I'm all good. But take the time to really reflect. How do we see the people around us? And how do I see myself? Do I see myself as worthy of a relationship with God? Do I see myself as worthy of healing from God? So let's take some time. I'm just going to pray for us before we do. And then, yeah, we'll take some time to reflect and discuss and even pray with one another as well, right? We see here that, you know, we're told to engage with others around us. And part of that is prayer, praying for other people as well. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this moment, Lord, where you are showing us, God, that you truly see us. We're not just another face in this auditorium, but that you truly see us and our potential for healing and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you would bring salvation on your people, God, that you would bring miracles down, Lord, from the heavens. If only we would open our eyes, we would trust what you say, God, and that we would participate in this healing process, Lord. Show us, Lord, what we must do, God. What is our participation in this, God? What is our way to, what is our go and wash moment, Lord? What does that look like? Maybe it's a renewing of our mind about how we see ourselves and whether we're worthy or not, Lord. Whether we've spoken things over ourselves, Lord, that we would disqualify ourselves in saying these things and speaking these things over our lives. God, and even if you have brought into mind some of the people around us that we have disqualified, that we have judged, Lord, would you show us how we might have a different lens at that person if we would only look closer and see how you see them? We thank you for this, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to all of us, God, that we wouldn't have to see you, God, only hear, Lord, and trust and believe that you have great purpose and destiny for us, God. And Lord, that you want to work miracles in and through our lives, God. So we thank you for that, Lord. We surrender ourselves to you, God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and make it known what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.